Zalpana Agarwal. I'm a PhD student in maternal and child health at UNC Chapel Hill. My presentation is entitled Correlates of HIV-Related Stigma and Discrimination Attitudes Among Couples in North India. My collaborators are Dr. Shela Bloom, Dr. Chiryut Suchindran, and Dr. Koshalinder Singh. I will try to keep talking if it's going to go slowly. The primary purpose of our study was to examine gender differences in HIV-related stigma and discrimination attitudes among couples residing in the general population of North India. We also examined the moderating effect of HIV/AIDS knowledge. In Indian society, women are often the caregivers and men primary decision makers, be it in the workplace or family context. Hence, gender was of particular importance in this study, given the fact that HIV stigma and discrimination could work differently with both sexes. So to start, I will present the HIV/AIDS context in India and the study area, review the study design and measures, and present some relative descriptive statistics. Currently, India ranks third in the number of people living with HIV/AIDS, followed by South Africa and Nigeria. Though HIV was first detected in the country 20 years ago, insufficient progress has been made in raising awareness and knowledge about the disease, especially compared to African nations. While disease spread has been rapid in South India, as shown in the areas in red on the map, pockets of rising HIV prevalence have emerged in the north, where our study took place. The study area is Uttar Pradesh in Uttaranchal, North India. Uttaranchal was formerly the Hill District of UP and then became its own state at the time of data collection. UP is India's most populous state, but is also one of the least developed. The combination of low HIV prevalence and low HIV knowledge and adverse socioeconomic climate is projected to have a profound effect on HIV/AIDS spread in the state and India at large. In the last 25 years, I'm sure as many of you know, in HIV/AIDS research and programming, stigma and discrimination have emerged as major factors associated with the continued spread of the disease. UNAIDS director Peter Pyatt stated in 2001, HIV-related stigma and discrimination remain an immense barrier to effectively fighting the most devastating epidemic humanity has ever known. In India, HIV stigma and discrimination has been widely documented. For example, in the late 1990s, a study of educated, uninfected Indian college students reported strong negative attitudes towards people living with the disease. 34% felt it would be better if infected individuals killed themselves. A recent study among people living with HIV/AIDS found that 35% had not disclosed their status to family members in fear of discrimination or bringing disgrace to their family or oneself. Another local study found that among 52 HIV-positive pregnant women who disclosed their status to family, 23% were beaten or abused by their in-laws. Stigma and discrimination and HIV/AIDS knowledge have a two-way relationship. Knowledge of HIV can reduce or increase stigma and discrimination, while the latter can serve as a barrier to HIV awareness and knowledge efforts. Therefore, as illustrated in the conceptual framework, the study examines gender differences in HIV-related stigma and discrimination attitudes and the moderating effect of knowledge, controlling for other socio-demographic factors. This study is innovative and significant in two ways. First, though HIV/AIDS-related stigma and discrimination has been often cited as a barrier to prevention and treatment programs to date, no population-based study has systematically examined correlates, much less the prevalence, of stigma and discrimination attitudes in the country. Current evidence is largely based on convenient samples or media reports in India. Second, the study findings will not only address these gaps in the literature, but facilitate development of stigma reduction interventions in the Indian context, particularly in North India, where HIV prevalence is low but rising. Data that was used in the study, and it was, Data used in this study were collected in 2003 in a probability sample of 3,385 couples, which totals 6,770 men and women residing in North India. The data are a part of a larger NIH-funded study that explored the potential for the spread of HIV in UP in Uttaranchal. A close-up map of both states is shown to the left. By design, the sample is representative of rural areas in the states and major urban areas. The study sample is a subset of the total sample, including only those that had heard of HIV/AIDS. Finally, the study sample was 4,704 men and women. So I wanted to show you these question items to give you a sense of what we use to measure HIV-related stigma and discrimination. This was obviously the dependent variable, and we used four question items. The responses were coded so that a score of 1 indicated presence of HIV-related stigma and discrimination on any question item, and this also included the don't know responses, and a score of 0 was assigned to responses indicating no HIV-related stigma and discrimination attitude. 8 survey items were measured for knowledge of HIV/AIDS, as will be shown in a second. Responses were coded 1 if subjects indicated correct knowledge of HIV/AIDS and 0 if they demonstrated lack of HIV/AIDS knowledge. The scale was created by summing subjects' correct responses. Additional sociodemographic factors that were included in the study were, for example, age, education, and area of residence. So I wanted to just present some brief descriptive statistics. In this study sample, on average, men tended to be older and more educated. Men also tended to have higher correct knowledge of HIV, which you will see in the next slide. And also, on average, as was shown in the scale, where they had a higher mean score. Last, men also had stronger HIV stigmatizing attitudes as compared to women. For example, 51% of men indicated they would not buy vegetables from an HIV-positive shopkeeper as compared to 34% of women. So now I'm going to get into the study's logistic regression results and the findings' relevance to HIV/AIDS interventions. Well, okay, so we have 4 learning objectives, and we'll cover 3 of them, which was noted in the abstract. But essentially, the maximum likelihood estimation was used to examine gender differences in HIV-related stigma and discrimination attitudes, and the moderating effect of HIV/AIDS knowledge. I'm sorry, the slides aren't moving forward. So the traditional logistic regression results, which are shown in that left column, indicated that the odds of reporting HIV-related stigma and discrimination was 1.68 times greater among men as compared to women, holding other factors constant. On the other hand, a unit change on the HIV knowledge scale was associated with a decreased odds of the outcome, holding other factors constant. Other significant predictors included age, education, urban residence, and region. The mean effect of gender in HIV/AIDS knowledge persisted running a conditional logistic regression model matching couples in the data set, and these are reflected on the right-hand side. This is significant since the C-LOGIT model controls for a range of unobserved factors among couples, while the traditional logistic regression model assumes that each male-female observation is independent, when in fact they are not in this couples-based data set. Finally, the interaction of gender and HIV/AIDS knowledge was significant in both models. To look closer at their interaction effect, predicted probabilities were calculated among men and women with the same sociodemographic characteristics. The predicted probability of males reporting HIV-related stigma and discrimination was consistently higher across levels of HIV knowledge. And as you can see, I won't go back, but in that graph that we were just looking at, it appears that at high levels of HIV knowledge, men's predicted probability of the outcome and females' predicted probability of the outcome converged. This demonstrates that the strength of the relationship between gender and HIV-related stigma and discrimination does indeed vary by levels of HIV knowledge. Finally, I wanted to note a few limitations of the study. First, the data on HIV-related stigma and discrimination are prone to social desirability bias, potentially resulting in an underestimate of the effect. Second, the items on stigma and discrimination are potentially limited. U.S.-based studies have utilized more comprehensive questions to probe specific dimensions of stigma and discrimination at length in the general population. That said, though, this is the first population-based study to measure HIV-related stigma and discrimination and examine sociocultural correlates in India. In addition, this research was carried out in North India, where a paucity of studies have examined determinants of any HIV/AIDS risk factors. In order to better understand these results, it's important for future research to basically understand why men, as compared to women, report more negative attitudes towards people living with HIV/AIDS, and whether certain aspects of HIV knowledge are more effective in reducing these negative attitudes than others. And it went back. Oh, I see. I'm so sorry. In conclusion, in light of evidence and rhetoric arguing HIV-related stigma and discrimination is a major problem in the current research, it's striking to find that few evidence-based interventions have been implemented. As indicated by the only review conducted on this topic by Brown and colleagues in 2003, such programs lack rigorous program evaluation and often are not based on evidence. This, however, is largely due to the lack of in-depth research studies on the topic that are population-based and potentially generalizable to a given group. However, there's growing interest in public health to implement such interventions in an evidence-based fashion. For example, in May 2007, the Cochrane Review issued a protocol to assess HIV stigma reduction interventions in order to guide future programming efforts in this area. The current study contributes directly towards this area of public health practice. Specifically, it informs evidence-based HIV/AIDS stigma reduction interventions in India, and these findings suggest that in the general population, Indian men and women should be differentially targeted while globally increasing their HIV/AIDS knowledge and stigma and reduction interventions. That's it. Thank you.